Twitter. Everybody does it. It's easy as pie, right? Just 140 characters, and you too can broadcast your little bits of wisdom to the world. Justin Bieber's latest tweet, big news, I got a mosquito bite on my neck, and it is really itchy. Or the Pope's latest tweet, Jesus is the sun and Mary is the dawn, announcing his rising. Oh, and this is really trending today. We've confidentially submitted an S-1 to the SEC for a planned IPO. This tweet does not constitute an offer of any securities for sale. That's actually the tweet from Twitter. Is your Twitter experience worth $10 billion, $40 billion, $100 billion? Lots of folks are seeing zeros today as Twitter has announced in that tweet that the company is taking itself public sometime between now and possibly the end of the year. Joining us now on what going public might mean for the future of Twitter is David Gelis, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Hi, David.
Hi.
So lots of comparisons to the Facebook IPO, at least in terms of scale. What are the challenges for Twitter to sort of outline its business model to likely investors, people who are maybe a little bit more thoughtful than the I just have to get in on the ground floor techie IPO crazoids who will take the stock without even thinking?
Well, in a funny way, Facebook, its arch rival, has actually made that task a bit easier for Twitter. A year and a half ago, when Facebook went public, there were a lot of doubts about whether Facebook could truly monetize mobile advertising. But since then, especially in recent quarters, Facebook has done just that. And that's exactly what Twitter's value proposition is going to be. They believe that they can turn their hundreds of millions of active users into profitable vehicles for advertising, both on mobile platforms and on the web.
You know, one of the things that's a little bit interesting about Twitter versus Facebook, I mean, Facebook is kind of a place that you go and you look at people's, you know, photos and their postings and that sort of thing. Twitter is a little more ethereal in the sense that you do a tweet and it goes out there. You don't necessarily stick on the Twitter page or any particular Twitter place, which I think complicates the issue of the advertising model for revenue. Yes.
Yeah, it is kind of a stream that people jump in and out of. For advertisers, though, the fact that Twitter really is a place where people go when there's something important to discuss gives them the opportunity to kind of insert themselves in the discussion, whatever that might be.
What are the hints of a possible valuation here? I mean, obviously, I don't want you to get too speculative here, but there are some big investors. If I'm not mistaken, Microsoft has a stake in Twitter. Some other big players have a stake, at least in a sort of, you know, like the venture capital stage of stock in Twitter. So we can make some sketchy calculations, right?
Absolutely. The first venture capital investment came into Twitter in June 2007. Since then, they've taken on successive rounds at ever higher valuations. At the same time, a robust secondary market for Twitter shares has sprung up, much as it did before the Facebook IPO. Now, these are kind of two separate things. On the one hand, there's the agreements between Twitter and its venture capitalist investors, and they've pegged a valuation to the company. At the same time, though, this secondary market where Twitter employees can sell stock directly to individuals is very unregulated. And the secondary market valuation of Twitter has, you know, soared as high as $15 billion. Whereas what we're hearing from people who know the company better is that the company feels its valuation, and the company has been valuing its own stock internally with investors and through an acquisition it just did recently at closer to $10 billion.
So what is the mission for Twitter as it now goes on the road and does a little, you know, basically sales job in advance of this IPO, which we understand Goldman Sachs will probably be the lead underwriter of?
Well, the truth is there's a lot of mystery still, because while they announced that they were on the road to going public and they had started to file papers with the SEC, they did it under this unique clause with the Jobs Act, which allows them essentially to withhold most of the information, all the nitty-gritty stuff that people would really want to know about the company, until 3 weeks before they actually start marketing to investors. And we don't know when that's going to be. So there's still a bit of a waiting game before we actually get to see how Twitter's going to pitch itself, what its real numbers are.
And finally, what there were a whole lot of things that came together in that perfect storm when Facebook's IPO happened. And, you know, some of it had to do with the NASDAQ. Some of it had to do with things that were completely out of Facebook's control. What are the assurances that that fiasco isn't going to be repeated, David?
Well, there really are no assurances. That said, I think by doing this Jobs Act IPO, Twitter is trying to take steps to downplay the scrutiny. There was so much frenzied speculation. There was a lot of information going back between Facebook and investors ahead of the IPO. It really muddied the waters. I think NASDAQ has probably learned a lot, though we don't know, frankly, whether Twitter will list on the NASDAQ or the NYSE. And it's interesting that Twitter seems to have tapped Goldman Sachs, not Morgan Stanley, which led the Facebook IPO. So read what you will into that decision.
Any idea what its ticker symbol would be?
Maybe TWT.
Yeah, which also means twit. So, yeah, who knows? It may come back to haunt them. David Gelis is a reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
5 years since the global financial crisis. This weekend, we'll see the releases of two movies about the crash in 08. Reviews coming from Movie Day co-host Kristen Meinzer and WNYC economics editor Charlie Herman. Oh, yeah. Charlie's a great reviewer. He'll be here to explain the backstories in these economic movies. But we asked you if you had to come up with a movie title about the 08 crash, what would it be? Stephanie Myers in Braintree, Massachusetts. Reckless. Like that. One of you in Anoka, Minnesota, put a tarp over it. Maybe they won't notice. I love that. A few others suggested from you around the country include Stillwater, Minnesota, Honey, I Shrunk Our Wallets, Our Home Value, etc., etc. Just end that one at wallets. That's brilliant. San Jose, California, Breaking Bank. Oh, Oyster Bay, New York, The Ones Who Got Away. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Follow us on Twitter, at The Takeaway. All one word, at The Takeaway. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.